Today's message is called An Honest Testimony. I am not going to keep doing Saturday ministry training right now because I feel like, you know, we're kind of down to just a couple of people in the winter. It's really hard. Roads are bad. And we only have two men coming and I'm one woman, so I make my husband come and he doesn't really have a free Saturday. So I think until spring, I will probably just be treating you all like this is ministry training, and whatever God gives me, it's coming on Sunday. So this is it. So this morning, when we talk about an honest testimony, everyone who knows Christ has a testimony. You may not think you have a testimony, but you do, because everything that happens in your life is your testimony. What do we have to tell anyone about God except what He's done in us and for us? But we do want to keep secret the things that hurt. You know, a lot of people think they want to be in ministry because they want to be famous. They want to stand up and preach to thousands of people and be on television and want to hear people say, "That was a great message. You're a good preacher. Man, what a man of faith. What a powerful woman. Miracles happen and everybody gets healed in her service." And we want the fame and the glory. But that's not what ministry is about. Ministry is about Him getting the fame and the glory, amen, not us. And you know what really brings Him fame and glory? Is telling that He's merciful, telling that He's kind, telling that He's faithful to love us when we don't deserve it, telling that He heals our broken heart, telling you had to suffer some affliction, but He was there with you and got you through it. And in order to do that, you have to not always look so good in order that He looks good. Being in the ministry is not about glory and fame. You. You get more tomatoes thrown at you than you will hear the applause. You just think that it's going to be all fun. You know what? When you find out what it really is and you still want to be in, then you know you're called. But every Christian has a testimony, whether you're called to ministry or not. You know, to preach is simply to proclaim what God has done. And I'm going to show you that King David, not called to be a preacher, preached. He preached in the great congregation, but he wasn't called to be a preacher. In other words, he got up and gave his testimony in the great congregation. We're going to start and end in 1 Peter. So when you get to 1 Peter, you might want to mark it because we'll be going there again later. Father, we just come before You this morning and we ask that You would glorify Yourself, that Your Holy Spirit would open us up. Lord, that You would open our ears, our minds, our hearts, our spirits, that You would quicken the word spoken and quicken it inside of us as we receive it, that You would just breathe life into Your message today in the name of Jesus. Amen. 1 Peter. Now I had it marked in my mark. Oh, there it is. Yes, they always cheat and mark them, but it slid down in. 1 Peter 4:11. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles or the utterances of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God gives, that God and all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. We're going to come back and read the verses following that later. But if anyone is going to stand up and speak, let him do it in the utterances, the oracles, the utterances of God, that God would be glorified. Let him speak from the ability that God has given him. You may say, "I don't have the ability to be a speaker." You have a voice. You don't have to be charismatic. You don't have to be a great personality. You don't have to be smart. You don't have to know where the verses are. I never remember where a verse is. It's part of my message this morning. Harvey mentioned one of the verses. I was going to get my notebook and look it up for him. I can't remember the main section of scripture I'm using this morning. I can't tell you where it is tomorrow. I cannot remember anything that includes numbers. Numbers just disappear as quick as I hear them. But I know how to find them. I can look up a word in a Strong's Concordance, which will tell me where the verse is. And actually, I have a really good concordance. I have a cheat concordance. It's called Harvey Hampton. All I have to do is say, "Where's this verse?" And he tells me, you know. You don't have to do. In fact, I'm thinking right now of a couple of disciples that the people said they took notice. They were not learned men, but they took note they had been with Jesus. That's what it's all about. Have you been with Jesus? And if you haven't been with him lately, maybe it's because you don't realize that where you are is what he's doing in your life. Being with him is not always singing and happiness and peace and joy. Sometimes being with him is painful and miserable and horrible. And we're saying like Job, I wish I'd never been born. But there's a purpose. There's a purpose. And once you realize everything in your life is supposed to become your testimony, it will become your testimony if you find God in it and honor God in it. And that's what our message is about. Turn to Psalm 40. Remember again that David is the king of a nation. He was a little shepherd boy, a little runty boy, not very good looking. He was a little nobody, but he became king. He was not called as a preacher. But I want you to look at the testimony David shared, because he was a humble, real person. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and he set my feet upon a rock, and he established my goings. David is admitting that he was into horrible sin. Horrible sin. He called his sin a horrible pit. Do you know when you fall in a deep pit, there is no way out unless somebody drops you a ladder, drops you a rope, gives you a lift. He was in a deep, dark, horrible pit of sin. David had addictions. I have an addictive nature. I could not drink. I was addicted to smoking. It was the worst thing I ever did in my life, giving that up. It was horrible. I can't get near pain pills very long. I got addicted to sleeping pills in about 3 days in a hospital. I got addicted to them. I mean, I wanted a pill every night to go to bed after that. I had to break that habit. I got addicted to diet pills when I was younger. I weighed about 120 pounds, and I was taking 4 diet pills a day because I was addicted to the feeling. I didn't need the diet pill. I have an addictive nature. David had an addictive nature. He was addicted to women. He was addicted to lust. A lot of us know that one. David said he was in a horrible pit and miry clay, and God brought him up. There's a song, I wish I had a voice, because there's an old song, when he reached down his hand for me, he had to reach way down for me. I was lost and undone. I didn't have God or his son, but he reached down his hand for me. David admitted how horrible his sin was. You know, that brings the Lord honor and glory, because that's how we show his mercy and his salvation, by admitting where we were when he found us. And God came along and he put my feet on a rock. He established my goings or my habits. He established me firm and solid and strong. God is the rescuer. And he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. David was making a choice when he said, many shall see it. He was making a choice. I'm opening up. I'm going to let many people see what I came out of. I'm going to let many people see what I was, what I am sometimes. Do you just continually hate the sin you do every day, the thoughts that go through your mind every day that you say you're not going to do again, but you do? You speak the words you say you won't say again, and you speak them. You neglect to spend time with God after you promised him just an hour ago you were going to. You forget to think about him. Through everything you hate, Paul said it, that which I hate I do, and that I want to do, I don't do. Paul hated his sin nature too, and he admitted it. He admitted it. We are sinners. Why does that shock us? Why do we expect ourselves to be bright and shining stars all the time when we are sinners? It's admitting and exposing that sin nature that brings him honor and glory. Amen. He's the shining star.
Right.
He's the one with all the glory. He's the one who's good and clean and righteous and holy. We are not.
Right.
but we want to look like him, so we pretend that we are like him. We are becoming like him. In the meantime, we need to admit our failings and our weaknesses. We need to admit them publicly so that others that are struggling with the same thing can find hope. Man, if Jesus can love her, he could love me. I'm not near as bad as her. Someone said that to me when I got saved. I was pretty bad. Y'all think you've heard a lot of my testimonies because I teach inner healing and I expose a lot. But there is so much more I haven't exposed yet. Actually, I haven't exposed all the worst of me because I, just like you, I really don't want to uncover all my worst in front of you. But I will. As God leads, I will. As it helps people, I have. Individually, when somebody needed to hear it, I have. When I got saved, my best friend's husband said, "Man, if Sue can get saved, anybody can get saved." I was his great hope. Many, Lord my God, are your wonderful works which you have done, and your thoughts which are toward us, they can't even be reckoned up in order unto thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. Sacrifice and offering you did not desire. Do you know, to put your money in church, to sacrifice a little time, sacrifices and offerings make people feel good about themselves. But that isn't what we're talking about. David said, "My ears have you opened. Burnt offering and sin offering you did not require. But my ears you did open." What did he open his ears to? The next verse, he says, "Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book as it is written of me. I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yes, your law is written, is within my heart. I love to do your will, my God. I love to do your will." Do you know when you start doing his will, you will be so happy. You can stand up and tell the most horrible thing about yourself, and then people get touched and they come to the Lord. And you're totally happy. You think you're going to be humiliated, embarrassed, and everybody's going to hate you. And instead, people love you and they get saved and they come to the Lord. And you are delighted that you've done his will. Doing his will brings joy to your heart. Even when doing his will is hard or embarrassing, that brings joy to your heart. It's not always easy. I'm going to get on with some of the suffering later. And when you're in the midst of a suffering, you're not maybe able to give that testimony because you don't even know what the testimony is yet. All you know is I'm suffering and I don't have a clue why, so how am I supposed to give a testimony? Well, you can't while you're in the middle of it. You don't understand it enough to testify yet. When you're in the middle of suffering, it's time to make your suffering worship unto the Lord. You make that suffering become your worship to him personally. God, I don't know what you're doing, but I trust you. God, I don't like my life, but I love you. God, I don't know what's going to happen, and I'm upset, but I trust you, and I love you. That is your worship. You still don't like it, and you can't explain it, and you can't help anyone else. Can't even help yourself, but you make it worship. You take it and say, "My suffering will be worship unto you, Lord." I remember having to clean up toilets. Really bad toilets. I won't go in detail. But they were bad toilets. And I was complaining. Oh, I'm going to gag. I was not called to be a nurse. I'm the only one in my family not called to be a nurse. My sister's a nurse. My brother's a nurse. My mom's a nurse. My grandma's a nurse. I don't want to be a nurse. I don't like puke. I don't like toilets. I don't like blood. I'm not a nurse. Why do I have to clean this toilet? Finally, God got a hold of my heart, and I said, "You know what? The worse the thing you have to go through, the more painful or the more suffering or the harder or the more humiliating, whatever it is, the greater the amount of worship it is when you do it in the right attitude." And I said, "God, those toilets are my worship to you. I will sing and praise you while I do those toilets because that's my worship." Somebody came along one day and said, "Let me do that toilet for you." And I said, "Oh, no, you don't. That's my worship. You're not taking away my worship. That's my toilet." I think God is so blessed when we make our suffering be worship. We do it for him, unto him. Because in everything you do, do it as unto the Lord and not unto man. And it works. Yeah. Turns you around.
That's right.
I'm jumping ahead because we didn't get to the suffering part yet. So I can't help it. I look at Glenn and I want to jump into the suffering.
Thank you, Jesus.
Glenn is suffering. I know that. So, okay. David had his ears opened unto God to hear the will of God. God opened his ears. He may not understand the will of God, but now he could hear the will of God. I know what you want me to do. Okay, I'll do it. I will do it as worship. He had his ears open to something else. He had his ears open unto the needs of other people. He allowed God to tell him when he needed to open his life up and give a real testimony, open, honest testimony. Expose yourself to help someone else. His ears were open unto the cries of other people. And in verse 9, David said, I have preached righteousness in the great congregation. I have not refrained my lips, O Lord, you know. David preached. He was not a preacher. He was not a minister. He was not called to preach. He was the king. The king. But he humbled himself. And he went before the congregation and he said, God lifted me up out of a horrible pit of black sin. And he was merciful to me. He said, I did not refrain my lips. You know, if God had done something that made David look good, like, wow, God just blessed me with $1 million. I can't wait to give testimony. Wow, God just healed me. I can't wait to tell everybody. He wouldn't have been hiding that. He would have had no temptation to hide that. It's when you have to expose what you don't want to expose, you have to come out of hiding. And this is what he said in verse 10. I have not hid your righteousness within my heart. Why would you hide the righteousness of God? When do we see how holy and pure he is? When we see how vile and unholy we are.
Exactly.
And we go, oh, God, you are so holy. I am not. I am not. David didn't want to bring that out because he didn't want you to see the contrast, but he did it. I have declared your faithfulness and your salvation. When is God faithful? When we don't deserve it.
Right.
Why do you declare somebody's faithfulness? What is faithfulness about? It's about a commitment to stick by you through thick and thin, for better or worse, in sickness and in health and in death. We don't depart. That's faithful. I am committed to you no matter what you do. And that is God. When he adopts you, he is committed to you no matter what you do. You may break his heart. You may make him angry. You may go to a woodshed with him. But he's faithful. And when we really appreciate that faithfulness is when we're not. When we're not at all. When we've grumbled and complained and blamed God and quit praising God and quit trusting God. And we are not faithful anymore. And then all of a sudden, there he is. Still faithful, still committed, still didn't give up on us. And we go, oh, God, in order for me to tell them how faithful you are, I will have to share how unfaithful I've been. But I will not hide that in my heart. I will tell it in the great congregation. I have not concealed your loving kindness, your mercy, your kindness to me when I didn't deserve it, and your truth. I will not hide these things from the great congregation. David gave an honest and open and real testimony. You have one. You have one because you're alive and breathing and God is your God. You have a testimony. You might not like it, but you have one. If you're suffering, it will become your testimony. Make it your praise and worship today by just telling them, I love you. I trust you. I don't get it. I don't understand it, but I love you. I trust you. Still believe in you. You're still my choice, God. Later, when you come out of it, tell it. Tell it. Tell what he's done for you. This Christmas party you're coming to, bring him that present, birthday present. Tell him. Tell everyone. whatever he lays on your heart between now and then, come and tell it, because people are going to get set free. People sit out there thinking, yeah, well, you just don't know some things about me. God did forgive me of this, but I wouldn't want anyone else in the world to know about it. Well, you know what? When you stand up and tell it, I can guarantee you there's several in the room guilty of the same thing. And now they realize they can be forgiven. Maybe they thought they were beyond his forgiveness until you said he forgave you for the same thing.
Exactly.
Maybe you think you've done it too many times. Well, his mercies are new every morning.
Amen.
You need to share. I fall every day. A righteous man falls 7 times, but he rises up again.
Right.
I probably fall 70 times, 70 times a day. I get up in the morning saying, God, I just want to walk with you. I want to know what you think. I want to know what you feel. I want us to do everything together all day long. Next thing you know, it's 8 o'clock at night, and I didn't even think about it. 8 o'clock at night, and I did all kinds of things I forgot to even talk to him about. I forgot to. Not only am I not doing it his way, I'm not even asking him to join me in my way. I completely forgot. I'm doing laundry, I'm cooking meals, I'm buying groceries, I'm busy, busy, busy. Look at the clock and go, oh my gosh, I just went 10 hours not walking with God. But you know what? He's in you. He's walking in you, even when you forget about him. He's still walking in you when you forget about him.
Yep.
He's so embedded in you, he reaches out through you when you don't even know it. But let's be honest. Let's be honest. It isn't about us. It's about him.
Amen.
We want to sell ourselves to people. We want to show them the best things that we have done and the nice things we've done. We want, as soon as we meet somebody, we want to just bring out everything good about ourselves and hoping they'll like us. And usually they're sitting there going, what a braggart. What pride. What arrogance. You did, you did, you did, you did. They don't even like you when you show them all you're good. But you tell them one honest, deep thing that God has done for you, and they will respect you, and they will open up toward God. It's powerful.
Right.
It's powerful. Not only your sin, your suffering. You hide all that pain. You don't want anyone to see what you've hurt over. You don't want to share your hurt. But that is pride. To cover your hurt and hide it is pride. And when you expose your hurt and you talk about how God healed you in that hurt, then they realize he can heal them too.
Yes.
I'm probably going to come back around to that one. David said in his testimony in verse 12, innumerable evils have compassed me about. My iniquities have taken hold on me, so I'm not even able to look up. He was ashamed. They are more than the hairs of my head. Therefore, my heart fails me. Be pleased, O Lord, to deliver me. O Lord, make haste to help me. Let them be ashamed and confused together that seek after my soul to destroy it. Who seeks after your soul to destroy it? Satan, your enemy, the evil spirits. They want to destroy you. Let them be confused. Let them hit the road and run, Lord. Deliver me. David was constantly encumbered with his own iniquity. And he admitted it.
Exactly.
Do we? Or do we try to look like the bright and shining Christian? In 17 he said, I am poor and needy, yet the Lord thinks upon me. You are my help and my deliverer. Make no tarrying, O my God. Make no tarrying. I am poor and needy. We are always poor and needy. Anytime we think we're not poor and needy, we just got deceived. Got caught up in pride because we're always poor and needy. Look at Matthew 4. There's a message in everything that happens in your life. Everything in your life has a message behind it. Why does God not just heal us instantly? And he does sometimes. Some people sometimes. Why? You know, the main purpose is to conform us to the image of Christ. He was compassionate. If you've never lost anyone, if you have never suffered losing someone you love, how can you be compassionate about someone else when they lose someone? If you've never experienced physical pain and you go to the hospital to visit somebody in pain, you have no clue what they're feeling. If you've never been rejected, how can you know what they're feeling when they're feeling that deep hurting of rejection? See, he allows us suffering to build the character of Christ, to build the compassion, to build the empathy in us, to build the patience. Why do tribulations happen? Again and again and again. Why did I spill that glass? Why did I drop that plant? Why? Because he's trying to teach you patience. Tribulation worketh patience. After a while, you go, I expect to spill the glass. I expect to drop the plant. Might as well just clean it up, you know. You start getting, you're not shocked by it anymore. You start learning a little bit of patience. Why do children drive us nuts? We're learning patience. We're learning patience. Tribulation worketh patience. I didn't mark this one, so I'm going to have to be a little bit slow getting to Matthew. Matthew 4. We probably aren't going to have worship today because this is a little bit long. I won't lie to you and say we're nearly done. Nope, we're not. Matthew 4:19, and he said unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Jesus said, do you want to be fishers of men? Because you know what? If you don't want to be a fisher of men, you might as well go to heaven now. What is your music about? Winning people to Christ. What is your testimony? Winning people to Christ. If we're not going to go and find the needy people and bring them to Christ, why are we here at all? We might as well go on to heaven. Jesus said, I'm going to show you how to be a fishers, to be fishers of men. And then in verse, I'm going to skim through 23, 24, and 25. What did he do in teaching them to be fishers of men? He went around teaching, preaching, healing, delivering people that were in torments, possessed with devils, lunatics, and healed them. This is what he did. He taught. If you're called to teach, get in the Word and study to show yourself approved, a workman that knows how to rightly divide the word of truth. And teach it. If you're called to preach, then spend some time with God and find out what he wants to say and preach it. If you're called to a healing ministry, then go out and heal people. But I'm going to tell you something that isn't popular message today. There's inner healing going on. We went down to Toronto and people are, I don't see it here right now, people were falling on the floors and weeping and getting up and they were healed from death, from rejection, from years of miserable things. My sister died during the Toronto thing, and I knew I was going to have to go to a family funeral pretty soon. And I had a different dad than her that I never met. Her dad picked her up every week, her and my brother. Their family bought them Christmas presents. They had a grandma, they had aunts and uncles, cousins. These people, when I was a child, rejected me. And then as an adult, they never invited me to anything. So my sister and brother every year went to the Christmas parties, got gifts, had all this family. I didn't have any family. So I knew when I went to my sister's funeral, I'm going to have to see all these people that rejected me. I didn't understand that. She was 2 years older than me. Her dad said, at first he took me camping, then he got married again, and his wife said, we don't have room for her, she can't come. He didn't say anything, that was fine with him. He wasn't my dad. I didn't want to see them. We went to Toronto that night. I was just full of grief, not tears because I never cried, but I was full of this heavy grief saying, I don't want to go to that funeral. I don't want to see those people. I don't want to feel that rejection again. I don't want to see them. I never wanted to see them again as long as I lived. And I heard a preacher saying, have you ever had that holy joy hit you where you laugh and can't quit? And I thought, I'm never going to laugh again. I will never laugh again. They couldn't make me laugh if my life depended on it, you know. I'm just going to lay on the floor and feel sorry for myself tonight and hate these people. God started getting a hold of me laying on the floor, and I forgave all those family of my sister. I forgave them all. And God began to heal my heart. He healed me so much that by the time that meeting was over, I was laughing. I was just laughing hysterically. Every time I would think of one of those people and what they had said or done, I'd start laughing. And I said, I cannot believe I am laughing at my pain. I don't feel any more pain. It was just hilarious to me. I went to my sister's funeral, and I did something honest. First of all, I went up to her dad, and I said, do you know that when I was a little girl, you broke my heart? Because you came, and you took me, and I thought you loved me. But then you got married again, and you never took me again, and you never paid attention to me, and I realized you never loved me. And that broke my heart. And he said, I'm really sorry. I had no idea. I had no idea. And then I began to witness to all those people at that funeral. I began to tell them that Kay was in heaven, and I began to comfort them. They were weeping in sorrow, and I began to comfort these people who had rejected me. And I felt so good. I felt so good that I was able to love those that never loved me. They still don't love me, and I don't even care. I don't care. I felt God's love for them, and it was wonderful. It was wonderful. We need to share our pains. We need to share them because others need that healing. And until we open up, we don't get healed, and nobody else gets healed around us.
Right.
If we keep our grief to ourselves, nobody else benefits. We won't be fishers of men that way. When he healed, I'm going to mention now again, God has methods for healing. He could instantly heal you. He could grow you new legs. He could make you 20 years old like that. He could do it. And if he loves you, why doesn't he just do it? Because he's building the character of Christ in you.
There you go.
He's building a message in you. You are a message. You are the sons of God. And the world is groaning. Creation is groaning, wanting to see some reality of God in us. We have to open up and let them see it. And when you suffer and you do it loving God and you give your testimony from it, they see the reality of God. Now, what is your testimony? I cut my arm. I fell down and broke my bones and I had this surgery. And I can guarantee you there were nearly 2 weeks I didn't want to pray. I didn't want to read my Bible. I am not going around and saying, praise God, I got to have surgery instead of instant healing. And I just love God for that. No. I was in pain. I was on pain medicine. I was sleeping. I was not spiritual. I was not at all spiritual for a couple of weeks. I was not proud of myself. I was ashamed of myself that I wasn't just saying, oh, thank you, God. Help me endure this pain. I was saying, give me that pain pill. Give me two of them. Put me to sleep. I was not feeling or acting that spiritual. But I could still say, God, I don't know why you won't just heal it, but I trust you and I love you, even if I have to go through this process. But you know what happened last week? He gave me a message because I watched it. Remember last week's message, the blueness of a wound? All this black and blue from the elbow to my fingertips. And he gave me a wonderful message to share on the blueness of a wound that cleanses away evil. If you weren't here, I'll try to get spiritual enough to copy all the tapes that are on my desk that I haven't copied. And you can get a copy. By the way, while I'm saying that, I have 5 copies of a DVD. It's not just audio, it's video. You can watch it. Of Jack Frost preaching on the mother heart of God. Powerful inner healing. If you feel you have some wounds and hurts where you needed to be mothered, it's powerful. Please take one. He is irritating to the max. He has a horrid voice. You'll think, I already know half of what he's saying, but you know what? You listen to the end because there's an anointing. It is powerful. There's an anointing on it. Hang in there and stick with it, and God will sneak up on you. It's very, very good. So there was a purpose. There was a purpose why I couldn't be instantly healed. I couldn't see it, and I didn't know it, and he didn't give me that testimony until after it was all over with. Then he gave me a great message from it to preach. I learned, I grew, and I got a message out of the suffering. He has what he's doing in your life for a purpose, and when you get through it, he'll give you the message of it to share with others. Just hang in there and trust Him and tell Him you love Him and trust Him until you get to the other side of it. Christ, Harvey, I didn't find this when I meant to ask you where it is. Though He were a son, He suffered. He learned obedience by those things that He suffered. Christ suffered. It's not because you're a sinner that you're suffering. Your sins are forgiven if you're saved. You're not suffering because you're a sinner. You're suffering for the glory of God. Get the right perspective on that, and you won't be mad about your suffering. Jesus suffered. He wasn't a sinner. You know where it is? No? Okay. Well, though He were a son, He learned obedience by the things that He suffered. Even Christ had to suffer to learn and practice obedience. So there's obedience we learn by our suffering. Then look at Romans. Did I read Matthew or did I just go? I did, didn't I? Okay, look at Romans 8. Hebrews 5:8, if you want to look up the verse on Jesus' suffering. Romans 8, starting in verse 16. I'm saying it, but I still don't have my eyes on it. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then we are heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with Him, that we may also be glorified together. For I reckon, or I consider, the sufferings of this present time are not even worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of creation waits for the manifestation of the sons of God. Do you hear that? They may not tell you, but the people in this world want to know He's real, and they don't see it. And polished, fake Christianity. Right, they don't see a reality of God in that. They see the reality of some little proud show-off saying, look how good I am. I'm glad, Father, I'm not like that wicked sinner over there. They don't see God in that. But if you suffer with Christ, you will be glorified with Him. Because creation is waiting to see the reality of God in you. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of Him who is subjected the same. In hope. I don't think I was supposed to go to 20. Right, I went a little too far there. We are the manifestation of God. He has limited Himself to working through us. So if we block Him, He doesn't work. If you block Him, exactly. You walk up face to face to another person, and I'm looking at this harlot. You're a harlot, Harv. And she is telling me, God can't forgive me. I've slept with hundreds of men and I've done horrible sexual immoralities and God could never forgive me. I'm too impure. And I used to be a harlot. I wasn't. See, my pride had to tell you that. I wasn't. But I used to be a harlot and I don't want to tell her that because I don't want her to know that. She might tell her the people and I like everybody to think I'm a nice Christian woman. So I'm not going to tell her that. She's going to hell and I'm letting her. I have to humble myself and I have to say, I was the same. I did what you did and He forgave me. He does love you. He does want you. I open up and I tell her, expose myself to win her to Christ. I let God be manifest. I don't hide His righteousness. I don't hide His salvation. I don't hide His mercy. I don't hide that faithfulness inside of me, keeping it all to myself. I get like King David and I stand up in the great congregation and say, I was in a horrible pit of sin and He forgave me. You can change. You can. He will change you. I know you feel like you can never overcome it, but you can because Christ in you will do it for you.
Right.
You're not hopeless. You're not beyond salvation. He loves you. If He loved me, He loves you. You know, some people get mad at God when something bad happens in their life and they go, I have served God all my life. I can't believe. I had a friend who said that. Her 12-year-old daughter got killed in a car accident. She said, I don't deserve this. I have faithfully served God. Why would He take my daughter? Well, when God took my baby boy, I couldn't say that. I had to say, God, I deserve anything that happens to me. I don't deserve anything good. If I got nothing from you but got to get in heaven, it's more than I had coming. I can't believe your mercy could save me. I can't believe that you even bothered to come find me the way I was treating you. I can't believe how good you are to me. Nothing bad that ever happens to me is undeserved. Everything good that happens to me is undeserved. It's the mercy of God. It's the pure mercy of God. I deserve to lose my baby. I deserve to go to hell. I don't deserve friends. I don't deserve a good husband. I don't deserve a car. I deserve to be burning in hell without mercy. But that's not what I get. That's not what I get. I need to expose myself that he would be glorified. I wasn't a harlot, but I ran her a good second. I didn't get any money. 1 Peter, you should be there if you marked it. This time we're going to go to 1 Peter 2. I think I might have forgot a verse. No, maybe we're not to it. 1 Peter chapter 2. Verse 21. For even hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow his steps. He suffered for us. You know, we talk about how he was beaten bloody. You couldn't even recognize him. How he bore that cross, being spit on, being tortured, being murdered. But he suffered more than that for us. He suffered a life of never getting married, never having children. He suffered not having a home, comfort, clothing, things that any normal Christian expects God should provide, and we get real angry when he doesn't. Christ had none of it. His entire life was accepting the suffering of not having a life. He laid it all down for us. He gave up his entire life. Rejection. Loneliness, misunderstanding. You think you're lonely? He was so lonely. The night before he was crucified, when he begged his disciples to watch with him, and they just fell asleep. He didn't even have a friend who would sit with him the night before he was to be tormented. He was alone. And he left us that example. Look at chapter 3, verse 14 and 15. And you know, I know, all you preachers out there, you're looking at all the verses that I'm passing over and not reading. But I can't stay here all day and read the whole Bible, so I had to select a few. Somebody always walks up and says, you should have read this, you should have read that. I know, I could read the whole Bible, it's all good. But, and if you suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are you. And be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled, but sanctify the Lord God in your heart, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you a reason of the hope that is in you, with meekness and fear. Verse 17, for it is better if the will of God be so that you suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing. I've heard people quit on God because they were suffering. Well, he won't heal me, and he won't deliver me, and he won't help me, and blaming God for their suffering, they leave God, and they go back into sin. You're heading to worse suffering than you ever imagined, and alone, without any hope. We have hope. We have hope in our suffering, hope for ourselves and hope for those that we reach out to. Back to where we began in chapter 4, 1 Peter chapter 4. We're going to read verse 10 through 17 this time. Verse 10, as every man has received the gift. What is our gift? The gift of God is eternal life. And Jesus is life. You have received the living Jesus inside of you. Amen. You have eternal life. Even so, minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If any man speaks, let him speak as the utterances of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability that God gives. Right there, the ability God gives. Again, the message is, you have a message. You have an ability to minister for God, and it's your testimony. It's your testimony. What God is doing in you, what he has done in you, what he's forgiven you of, what he's healed you of, how he's been there and merciful, how he's faithful. You have a testimony out of what's going on right now. Will you share it openly? You have a testimony out of your grief. Will you share it openly to give hope to someone else? That's the ability he gave you, your testimony. That God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, who's in you, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing had happened to you. But rejoice inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when his glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy. When you come through this thing you're going through, and his glory is revealed at the end of it, you will be full of exceeding joy. You will, if you let that flow. If you be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are you, for the Spirit of glory and of God rests on you. On their part, he's evil spoken of, but on your part, he is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer or a thief or an evildoer or a busybody in other man's matters. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. The time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. If it first began with us, what shall be the end of them that obey not the gospel of God? Verse 19, look at 19. Wherefore let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing as unto a faithful creator. In the midst of your suffering, all you can do is give him praise and worship. Worship doesn't mean dancing around the room in celebration, banging your tambourine. Worship doesn't even mean praying endlessly about how wonderful God is. In your suffering, worship simply means, God, I don't like it, but I trust you. I still love you. I still choose you. And at the end of this, I hope you give me a good message, a good testimony to share to help someone else. Let the character of Christ be formed in me. Let the character of Christ be formed in me through my suffering. This can be your birthday gift to Jesus. This can be your birthday gift to Jesus. Share something. If you're going to be here on the 23rd, it would be a good time to share it. If you want to share it today, you can. If you want to pray about it, share it next Sunday, you can. I mean, we're not going to force every person at the Christmas party to stand up and share. We're going to say, if you want to share. So at any time God gives you something, I would like you to make that your gift. But the best gift would be the decision and the choice that you would make this morning. I will testify. I will share openly, vulnerably, without excuses. I will be open and real and honest, and I will let you, God, reach others through me. Wherever, whenever you want to, you may share my testimony openly, God. I will let you. Father, we thank you so much that Jesus suffered for us. We thank you that you don't give us more than we can endure. We thank you that there is light at the end of our tunnel. We thank you that you walk with us even when we don't know you're there. We thank you for your love and your mercy that we draw on repeatedly. We just ask you to burn this into us, that we would be open and honest and share what you've done for us. That's why we're still here, Lord. To bring you glory. We love you, Lord. Amen. Where's Tom? He's not here. Guess he can't play for us. Okay, Wayne's going to do something, music-wise, I guess, over there. Okay. Turn on some quiet music. If you...